Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
In a week where Australia triumphed in both a T20 and an ODI series against Hayley Matthews, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
I did hear on the WNCL live stream the other day that somebody said that Beth Mooney wouldn't be the next keeper for Australia, so I think she just took that out on whoever said that and threw it at me just to make sure that if I do go down, it's her.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke and Alyssa Healy, who was referring to being struck by a ball that Beth Mooney threw at her.
Yeah, that's right. It was a moment in the one day between Australia and the West Indies, the women, and Alana King took a wicket with an LBW, and while they were appealing, Beth Mooney at first slip just tried to run her out but just flung the ball straight into Alyssa Healy's backside.
Yes.
And she went down too, right?
Yeah, she went down on her haunches briefly. At first, I didn't see Beth Mooney actually hit her when I was watching, and I just thought she'd strained her back. You know how she does that big, like, massive appeal where she stretches her back all the way back? She does a big elongated appeal. I thought she might have strained her back, but no, it was just Beth Mooney flinging a ball into her. Yeah, since our previous episode, the Australian women have played the West Indies in three T20s and three ODIs.
Yeah, they got a lot of cricket in it. And, of course, as you mentioned in the intro, it was really just Hayley Matthews playing for the West Indies. I mean, she was amazing. She was incredible.
Yeah, she was fantastic. Player of the match in each of the T20s, despite Australia winning two of those T20s.
Yeah, that's so great. And player of the series, obviously.
Yes, yes.
So what did she end up with? She got 2 for 310 off 29.4 overs.
Yes. So, a lot of runs, only dismissed twice, and going at about 10 runs an over while she was batting. So
amazing.
Not bad. She wasn't quite as effective in the ODIs, but that was mostly because she didn't play one of them. Mm-hmm. And I think another one was rained out. So that limited even Hayley Matthews' ability to dominate. But, you know, lots of rain about again. Did mean that the Australian women were back in action, doing their old trick of helping with the covers out at Junction Oval.
Yep.
So we probably need to get a Kickstarter or something up to get some more Junction Oval staff so the women, you know, can take some time off whenever the rain starts to fall out.
I reckon it's part of their training routine now.
Yeah,
those covers are heavy.
Yes. But I guess the most important thing coming out of this series is that Hayley Matthews will be playing for the Melbourne Renegades in the WBBL, and that's our team. So that's good news for us.
She's captaining too, right?
She is indeed. Huh. So some hope for the Renegades.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the first couple of weeks of the World Cup. Has it really been 2 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks, two and a bit weeks, I think, by now. But probably closing in on 3 weeks. Yeah. Time gets away from you. So we won't go over the results of all those games.
It's impossible to go over every game.
Like, if you're doing a daily podcast like some people are, then that's fine. You can cover every game. We don't do daily podcasts. So we'll just cover some of our personal highlights, which may have nothing whatsoever to do with the matches. So
what's your first personal highlight?
My first personal highlight is a low light, really, because it's these World Cup mascots, Skank and Zuma, who I fucking hate. They're up, they're in the crowd, they're dancing away like dickheads. I do not like Skank and Zuma. They're absolutely horrendous.
They're actually pretty reminiscent of the Renegades mascots.
Yeah, that's true.
Reasonably similar. They've got
like
capes, they've got masks. They're wearing masks, so we don't know their real identities.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's really, Stuart Broad and Meg Lanning maybe dancing around behind those masks.
Very possibly.
We'll never know.
I mean, it's probably not Meg Lanning.
No, she's playing in the WBBL.
But she may be just zipping back and forth. You never know.
Yeah. Well, it's someone else then. We just can't work it out because of those masks.
It's like the Masked Singer, except with horrible mascots.
Yeah.
What other highlights has there been?
Well, Joss Butler, before the series opener against New Zealand, he claimed he didn't like England being referred to as the defending champions.
Yes.
Now, that's that's typical Joss Butler because he doesn't like the word defending.
Mm, yeah, that was a good explanation, right? Yep. A very insane explanation. Yes. Just like we're not going to defend our title because we don't like the word defend.
Yep.
So instead they're, you know, savagely attacking the prospect of somebody stealing their title or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, they went on to lose that match against New Zealand. Right. So perhaps a little bit more defence needed from Joss Butler.
Absolutely.
My next highlight, again, another low light really, is I've mostly got low lights here to begin with. I assume it gets better as we go along. Sachin Tendulkar's dreadful commentary. Sachin is not a good commentator and he just kind of skulks into a commentary box.
Oh, well, everyone accepts him into their box.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They genuflect as he arrives there. Yeah.
He can go wherever he wants. Whichever box.
Here, Sachin is, maybe Sachin is a skank or Zuma. Anyway, Sachin gets out of his skank costume. In he comes and he just proceeds to ignore anything happening out in the middle. He bangs on about God only. I don't even know what he talks about most of the time because he starts talking and I just start falling asleep.
Yeah.
And it's dreadful stuff. Almost as bad as Hayden. That's how bad it is.
Yes, that's really dreadful. He's not the greatest. So my next one is kind of at a low light as well. But Adam Zampa, when he was doing something in the swimming pool, he swam into the edge of a swimming pool and he grazed his nose.
He had a massive great cut. Yeah,
massive cut in his nose. And of course, this is not Zampa's fault because his nose is sentient.
Mm.
Remember? It's recklessly so because it has orchestrated runouts on its own before. Remember in the BBL?
Yep.
And now it's had enough of swimming and it leads Zamps to the side and a little more enthusiastically than necessary. But yeah, I think Adam Zampa's nose is quite a thing.
But I think the other issue with the swimming pool is apparently he's swimming with his eyes closed and I'm not quite sure that's – I mean, don't trust your nose, Adam Zampa. It gets you into all kinds of trouble.
No.
Yeah.
No. And if you have to swim with your eyes shut, maybe you shouldn't be swimming that fast.
Very possibly, yeah. Continuing the lowlights, we've got fucking Jarvo made an appearance again.
Lots of swearing in these lowlights today.
He interrupted the Australia-India match.
Have you got any highlights or lowlights related to actual cricket?
Maybe we'll get to some. We'll see. But yeah, so he ran onto the match, made a complete dickhead out of himself.
Yep.
Virat Kohli came over, gave him a talking to, and hopefully that's enough to scare him into sorting out his life. Because if Virat Kohli gave me a talking to, I'd do whatever Virat told me to do.
I can't even remember which game Jarvo was interrupting the previous time.
The previous one, I think, was England? At a test match. Yeah, it was during the England summer.
Ugh.
Yeah. So no more Jarvo, hopefully. I think he's been put on a plane and sent back home. So maybe he'll interrupt, you know, the Rugby World Cup or something. That's fine. I don't care about the rugby.
Yes.
What's next?
Next up is another highlight or lowlight from the Australia versus India game. This is probably a highlight. This is Dave Warner. He's still playing cricket.
He is,
for a minute.
Good on him. Good on him for having a go.
Good on him. And he was given a six by one of the umpires, Chris Gaffney. But old honest Dave decided that he'd correct him and told him it was only a four.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
How does he see that far to the boundary?
He must have exceptional eyes, better eyes than the umpire, clearly, because he peered down, saw, no, that bounced inside the rope. I'll just help the umpires. Maybe Dave Warner's got a career in umpiring after his career ends.
I would love to see Dave Warner umpiring.
Wouldn't he be fiery and awesome?
He would be fantastic. Yeah. No, he wouldn't. He'd just be serious, deadpan. Be really staid. He developed this massive beer belly. It'd be fantastic.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to Dave Warner, the umpire. Yep. So that's coming.
Great name for an umpire too.
Warner. Yeah. Give him one warning and then you're out of there. Of course, in that same match, you were given some betting options, right?
That's right.
We don't. Well, let's get the theme song up here.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realised and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realised that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid and stupid.
I love in that clip that they insist on telling everyone the country that the bookmaker came from. Yeah. I don't know if that's relevant.
No. Anyway. So you were going to bet on the Australia-India match with an Indian bookmaker.
Yes, I was half-assed going into the – I think I had about a minute to go before the gambling closed. So I'm not a great gambler, as everyone knows, but the betting options for Australia, top run scorer for Australia could have been Steve Smith at four, Warner at $4.50, or Travis Head at $4.50 somehow. Very short odds for someone who's not even playing.
I'm not even sure he was in the country at the time. I think he was still in Australia recovering from this broken hand or whatever the hell he's had. So, yeah, so you put all your money on Travis Head, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's definitely going to be the top run scorer. No. Honourable mention to South Africa, who are going to win the tournament. Mm. I have bet on South Africa to win the tournament. And curses and tradition be damned in World Cups. And also, even though the Netherlands beats them.
Yeah.
Which has happened. The Netherlands always beat someone.
Yeah. And it just, they often beat South Africa too. I think they beat South Africa in the T20 World Cup last year. So
I think
yeah.
it's a tradition.
Bogey side.
I reckon it's something to do with the sledging because wouldn't they? They understand each other's sledges,
yeah,
don't
possibly,
they?
Possibly. Yeah.
The Africans.
Yes. Very, very possibly.
Oh, yes. Anyway.
Yes.
I also bet on a century in the match India versus Australia and bloody Rahul got 97 and Kohli got 85.
And Rahul was trying to get his century. Except he accidentally hit a six off Pat Cummins to win the match instead. He was trying to hit a four and then hit a six so he could four to level the match and then a six to bring up his century.
So what he needed was that umpire that gets it wrong.
Oh, he should have just done what Dave Warner did. Said, no, that was just a four.
Just a four.
Yep.
Easily.
Could have easily overruled it. Yeah. Very, very foolish. Mm. We also had England before their match against Bangladesh. They spent thousands and thousands of hours complaining about the outfield. It was all scruffy and messy and they didn't like it. Turned out there was nothing wrong with it. Everybody fielded on it perfectly fine. And I'm assuming they just didn't like the look of it. Then maybe it clashed with the mountains in the background or something.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's so that was kind of just a bit of a letdown really after all the banging on about it they went.
You think they might be complaining about their actual form in this tournament.
Right, yeah, but no, it's the outfield.
Oh, well. And talking about form, Australia hired a circus clown as their fielding coach for this tournament. They've dropped about 1,000 catches, at least 70 catches against South Africa alone, all varying degrees of difficulty. Some of them were hard, but they usually stick them, and the easy ones fell too.
The easy ones fell too. There was a very comical performance from Australia.
Yeah.
At least we're listening to their clown of a fielding coach. They were following instructions. I think during that same match, we also had Richard Kettleborough. He gave Marcus Stoinis out caught behind, despite his hand being off the bat, because he was the third umpire, and he explained over the voice thing, we could hear him quite clearly that this was technically a correct decision because even though Stoinis had one hand off the bat, it was connected to the other hand, which was on the bat. And when that happens, both hands are counted, you know, as just one great big hand for the purposes of holding onto the bat.
So the wisdom of Kettleborough.
The wisdom of Kettleborough. It was very, very clever, very, very important clarification, smart application of the laws, except for one tiny thing, which was that the other half of the split screen showed that the two hands were nowhere near one another. So, just a little bit of an oversight there from Kettleborough.
Yeah.
Not to look at the other half of the split screen.
Well, split screens are difficult.
They are very difficult, yes.
Yes. Anyway, we've had also a lot of very funny DRS whinging from the Australians.
Yes.
So Steve Smith was given out to one that looked like it was missing by a mile, and he just pulled his typical Steve Smith exasperated, sort of incredulous faces as he wandered off. And then Warner was given out, but that was by Joel Wilson, and reviewed the decision, and that was upheld by umpire's call. And then Warner swore and smashed his bat down on the ground. I mean, they need a mood coach, I think is what they need here.
Yep.
And they demanded, I think, what did Warner? It was Warner
the
one
Warner
who demanded
came out a
the
couple
big
of days
screen.
Later.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
And he said that umpire's stats should be shown on the big screen before the match starts.
Ooh, owie. So their record, so what would it be? Joel Wilson got one right.
Yeah. Yeah. in this particular case, yep, Joel Wilson, one right.
Yeah.
David Warner, one big tantrum. We also, I mean, it wasn't just the Australians, of course. Johnny Bairstow had one that... he complained about a lot because gave a filthy glare as he went off because it was umpire's call on both where it pitched and whether it was going on to hit the stumps. But still umpire's call, still had to go. And we know this is just because Johnny likes to bat on even though he's out. So that's a tradition from Johnny Bairstow.
Yeah, absolutely.
But basically in general, England and Australia are the highlights of the tournament so far. They're having a competition to see who can stink up the World Cup the most. England came out, lost their first game. Australia came out, lost their first game.
Yeah.
Then England were beaten by Afghanistan in their third match, and that briefly sent Australia to the bottom of the table, which was
very
exciting.
Well, they'd lost two matches by then, I think, Australia. They're dreadful.
Yeah. So ideally, we're hoping neither country will make the semi-finals, right?
That's right.
Then they could just organise some little bilateral tournament between themselves and maybe, you know, earn some money to start a development program or something for their teams.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, it was a tough draw for Australia to start.
Mm.
Not so much a tough draw for England to start. But anyway, there's going to be a match between these two teams at some point. They can't just keep losing. So someone's going to win a match at some point. It probably will be a complete knockout when they play each other.
Maybe it'll be rained out.
Yeah.
That would be very entertaining.
That would be funny.
Yes.
That might knock both teams out.
Maybe. Let's hope. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. We also had some silly commentary from Michael Clarke. Who would have thought?
No,
it would have been
hard
him.
To believe.
He basically claimed Pat Cummins would be axed for the third match.
Mm, as captain and as a player.
Yeah. Wow, that would have been a big deal.
Would have been a big deal.
Thank goodness Michael Clarke's not a selector.
No, Michael Clarke doesn't really know what's going on. We also had, during a rain delay in Australia's match against Sri Lanka, we had Dave Warner helping out with the covers. Presumably he just wants to qualify as an honorary member of the Australian women's team. He's probably had a chat with Mitch Stark about it. Said, that sounds pretty good, hanging out with the world champions all the time.
Yeah.
That's much, much easier than trying to win our own World Cup. Let's just stick with the girls.
He's testing out all sorts of post-cricket careers here, isn't he?
Yep.
Umpiring and cover dragging.
Yep.
And I've got one more. There were a lot of highlights.
There have been a lot of highlights that have nothing to do with cricket.
Yeah. Adil Rashid got upset with journalists who suggested that England might have lost their aura.
Mm.
Now, I don't know which journalist suggested this, but he says, I don't think that's fair. He says, I think it's pretty unfair. And what do you reckon? Do you agree?
I completely agree with Rashid, yeah. I mean, you can't go about making wild, unsubstantiated claims about, you know, teams losing their auras.
Yeah.
I mean, auras are, yeah, very important. Stick to the known aura facts,
yes,
I say.
Or get a degree in aura science.
Mm, exactly. Very unfair to not listen to the aura science.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
So I'm covering many of the World Cup matches, like actual things that happen in the games rather than things that happen outside, over on my newsletter. And you could sign up to the newsletter for free. That's newsletter.leibcricket.com. So, but pretty much every Australian match will get a report card full of my observations on the match, and along with any other games that capture my interest. And they will all be delivered straight to your email inbox if you sign up. So you get one report card a week for free, and the rest can be unlocked via a paid subscription or by recommending other people to the newsletter. That also lets you...
Oh, that's clever. That's a clever
trick.
Unlocking.
Yeah, so paid subscribers or unlocked subscribers also unlock older content that has slid behind the paywall and gives you discount codes for all my writing, including a 100% off discount code for all my self-published ebooks.
Ooh.
So that's newsletter.leibcricket.com.
Let's play.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer?
All right, here we are in the quiz.
So the quiz is, are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer? And I think I'm the subject
You are the subject this time around, yes. And I'm kind of inspired by all that newsletter talk. I did remember that I'm still subscribed to Marnus's newsletter. Marnus has got a newsletter that he sends out.
Goes straight to my spam. How often does it come out?
About once every 4 or 5 months, Marnus sits down and types out his thoughts. Perhaps he doesn't, yeah. Anyway, just prior to the World Cup starting, Marnus sent out a newsletter, and I'm going to read you 6 phrases. A number of them will be from Marnus, and a number of them will have been generated by ChatGPT. And you just have to tell me which is which, okay? Okay?
This could be tricky.
So the first quote. In the world of cricket, the right bat is an extension of yourself. It's essential to have the perfect piece of willow in hand when you're on the big stage. Is that Marnus or is that ChatGPT?
Oh, my God. It's exactly the sort of thing Marnus would say. I think it's ChatGPT.
That is ChatGPT. Oh! 1 out of 1. All right. Second quote. It's been a whirlwind 2 months since the end of the Ashes. Yep, that's right. It was just 2 months ago that we wrapped up the fifth test. Wow, time really does fly.
Oh, my.
Manus or ChatGPT?
It's inane. It was just 2 months ago. Oh, God. That has to... It depends how many exclamation marks in that.
I think there's just one right at the end. Wow, right. Time really does fly, exclamation mark.
Okay, I guess it has to be an exclamation mark at the end of the wow. Yep. I think that's going to be Manus.
That is Manus, 2 from 2.
I'm just trying to remember if, because ChatGPT, you know, misses the last couple of years. When did Manus's newsletter first start? And does ChatGPT have
I fed the newsletter into the thing, right, to give it a sample of how Manus writes. So it's doing its best to imitate him.
Okay.
Third quote, every net session is a dress rehearsal for the big show. It's where we work on our strengths and weaknesses. Manus or ChatGPT?
Oh, it sounds pretty boring. But then again, Manus always talks about net sessions in his newsletters. But I'm going to go with ChatGPT.
Oh, you're right again. 3 for 3. You might clean sweep this
Woo-hoo.
One. All right.
I doubt it.
Next
There's
one.
6.
I'm mostly focused on my intent and looking to up my scoring rate. This means finding ways to hit boundaries, but also a big part is not getting bogged down with dot balls. So working on ways to get off strike and work the ball around the field for singles. Manus or ChatGPT?
I mean, that's definitely what Manus does. Mm. And that vague focusing on intent just means nothing at all. I'm going to say, I'm 3 out of 3. I've had 2 GPTs and 1 Manus. I'm going to go Manus again.
That is Manus. Oh! 4 from 4. Here we go.
Hey.
5th quote. A major part of my ethos for many years and something I've continually written down in my journal is the phrase, stay ready always. Is that Manus or is that ChatGPT?
I love the idea that that is the only 3 words written in the journal. Stay ready always times 100. I don't reckon Manus has got a journal. I think this is ChatGPT.
Oh, no, you've ruined your chances.
Oh, is this Manus?
That's Manus.
Oh, my
yes.
God. Manus. Stay ready always.
Manus is always ready. Always ready
wow,
to do something.
Wow, how much is that journal going to be worth when he sells it?
Millions. Mm. Millions. Final quote. The sweet spot on a bat is like a treasure chest. Finding it consistently is an art that we constantly work on. Is that Manus or is that ChatGPT?
Oh, ChatGPT. I've done quite a lot of work with ChatGPT. They were just comparing irrelevant things to treasure chests. I'm almost certain this is ChatGPT.
You are correct. So it's 5 out of 6.
I always get a suggestion for a bloody treasure chest.
Yes. All right. Well, congratulations. You are smarter than a 5th grade cricketer.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number 1 Scott Moeller Award.
Here we are in a Moeller Award. Pretty much the entire episode has been a Moeller Award. We had a whole heap of World Cup related Moellers.
We do nothing else now. We did that as a total episode last time and now this time as well.
Yeah. Anyway, we threw a quiz in the middle of this one. So the actual Moeller Award for this time, nothing to do with any of the World Cups. We're going to start off with the Marsh Cup.
Which is on its way.
It is on its way. And in particular, we're going to talk about Jake Fraser-McGurk, who hit a century off 29 balls, which became the
Amazing.
Quickest ever in 50-over cricket.
Yeah.
And quicker than the fastest one in T20 cricket as well.
Oh, God, that's
so
amazing.
So he just went very silly. So that was good work from Jake Fraser-McGurk. And continuing the silliness of the Marsh Cup, we had just a couple of games later, Gurinder Sandhu and Kane Richardson added a record 73 runs for the final wicket to give Queensland a win over New South Wales. I'm pretty sure New South Wales thought, oh, well, we've done this, 9 wickets down, 73 to get. Fine win, we'll get a bonus point. I think what actually happened was New South Wales were on the brink of getting a bonus point for bowling the team out for, you know, too low a proportion of their total. And then Queensland, with this last wicket partnership, ended up getting a bonus point because they won within 40 overs or something.
Oh, wow.
So there's a big bonus point turnaround. So, yeah. Great stuff from the Marsh Cup, which is easily the most compelling 50-over cricket of the last few weeks.
That's right. We're definitely watching the wrong competition here. Anyway, I've got one from the Asian Games. That was just prior to the World Cup.
Yes.
So there was a match between Pakistan and Nepal, and there was a stumping against one of the Nepal batters. And this was checked upstairs, and the third umpire confirmed, yep, that's out.
Yep.
And then the batter left, made it all the way to the pavilion. And then the third umpire noticed the ball wasn't even in the wicketkeeper's gloves where the stumping was made. And it must have had another look at a couple of replays. Yep. So he was not out.
Mm.
A couple of minutes later, back to the crease, and the match continued. Mm. So obviously corrected his mistake at the very last minute.
So he looked at the other half of the split screen to see where the wicketkeeper had the ball in the gloves. That's that's something for Richard Kettleborough to work on.
He can work on that.
Yeah. My next nomination is Pat Cummins. Good old Pat Cummins, because he was named the Green Sport Awards Athlete of the Year. This is a BBC award. Very, very, very exciting for Pat, and something to rile up all the people who already don't like him.
Yes.
Green Sport Awards Athlete of the Year. Cameron and Chris Green are both reportedly fuming about this result. So.
I heard that they weren't fuming.
Oh, they weren't?
No, they were green with envy.
They were green with envy, even better.
That is much worse.
Yes.
Also, you're not allowed to be fuming at the Green Awards.
No. Unless it's solar panel fuming. Yeah.
Anyway, and the next one, following that terrible day at Lords where Australia was booed and hissed and so on, the MCC that got in on the action there, they've finally suspended three of their members for that tantrum after Johnny Bairstow was dismissed.
Yep.
So really great to see that they've found their three bad eggs that were noisily ruining and otherwise very cordial kind of exit through the change rooms there.
Yes,
and
very good.
No more disrespectful behaviour expected from any of those lords.
Yes, very good. Great to see. Wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Got a couple more here. I've got there's a women's T20 series taking place between Chile and Argentina.
Hmm.
Argentina got off to a good start. They made one for 427 batting first.
Are we sure it was only 20 overs?
It was definitely only 20 overs.
Oh, no.
The most impressive part of this innings was they did not hit a single six.
Wow.
They scored 427 runs, no sixes. They were helped a little bit by 64 no balls.
Whoa, that's so terrible.
64 no balls in 20 overs, so that's three per over.
If you don't, not a single six. If you don't hit it in the air, you can't be caught out.
Exactly. So that's the Bradman theory of T20 batting.
Yeah.
Florencia Martinez, she bowled 17 no balls in her sole 23 ball over.
Oh, wow.
And she finished with the figures of none for 52 off one over.
And nobody at any stage noticed that she was hurt in the middle of that over? She was dreadfully hurt.
Dreadfully injured.
No one noticed.
Terrible. Oh. Yeah. I might have dragged her off after the 11th or 12th no ball. So you've clearly got a problem with your arm there.
Yeah. You've got a broken arm. Don't bowl with your broken arm. Off to the change rooms with you.
But the most amazing
thing, they had no sub.
Maybe. But the most amazing thing about this game was that Chile then went on to chase the target down. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They were bowled out for 63. But imagine if they had chased it down.
Yeah, Martinez
would have been very exciting.
Scored a triple century in that chase.
Yes.
Poor Martinez. Anyway, one last one. This is Elise Perry.
Mm.
Elise Perry has missed the opening WBBL match after a ban for slow over rates from the previous tournament.
Yep. Everyone pretty much forgot this, but it was there hanging over her head.
Again, umpires with long memories. Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of a whinge about it from the commentators, I think, on Channel 7. But anyway, slow over rates should be punished, right?
Yep. People you can't have both ways. You can't be complaining about slow over rates all the time and boring us with all your complaints about that and then coming out and complaining when they do something about slow over rates. So,
That would be implying that people can't complain about indeed opposite things, which people do all the time.
That is true.
Anyway.
That is true. Who's going to win this Mueller Award?
Oh, goodness
Lots
me.
Lots of options.
I feel like we should give Martinez the consolation prize for scoring so poorly.
Yeah, congratulations to Florencia Martinez.
Yeah.
You have won the Mueller Award. Excellent work. And that will wrap us up for this week, right?
Yes, you've been listening to Dan Libke and Kat Jones. And we are on X and on Blue Sky and on Threads and also all over the place.
Choose
your
social media platform and track us down there. You can also follow us on Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter, X. Like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. And, of course, don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter at newsletter.leibcricket.com. That's where you get all your World Cup content from me. And we will see you two more weeks into this World Cup,
I
guess.
Possibly after the final.
Yeah, maybe. We will speak to you then. Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.